Le printemps est arrivé et avec lui le temps des sucres dans l'Est ontarien. Dans les érablières, la récolte de la sève a commencé et la production de sirop d'érable est bien lancée. Naomi Langlois-Anderson, technicienne principale en gestion de la faune et des poissons à la conservation de la Nation Sud, explique que l'hiver plutôt froid a une influence positive sur la production de sève cette année.
I think it is. Like, trees are pretty good at weathering all types of weather events, but to have like plentiful sap in the spring, you want like a nice cold winter that's kind of like evenly temperatured, which is kind of what we've had this past winter. I would say we had like a, you know, a lot of people are calling it like an old-fashioned winter where it was really cold and lots of snow. So that's, I would say, pretty ideal for to, you know, begin the to having good conditions for maple sap production. But of course, it all depends on the actual season. When the season opens, it's like when the daytime temperatures start going above zero, and that's kind of where we want to have kind of an extended season where it doesn't get warm too quickly, because once it reaches like over 10, 15 degrees Celsius, the sap doesn't taste the same, and it's kind of like that's when the end of the season is marked by, when it stops kind of flowing as routinely as it does whenever the temperatures are ideal, and you get into that range where the buds are starting to open, and then it definitely changes the flavor of the sap.
Naomi Langlois-Anderson explique que l'un des problèmes cette année est causé par les écureuils qui font des trous dans les tuyaux en plastique utilisés pour récolter la sève. C'est un souci courant auquel les producteurs doivent rester attentifs.
There's always lots of pests, so that's something that we're always kind of like keeping an eye out for. There's insects, of course. There's fungus, tree fungus that can impact the health of a tree. There's also things like squirrels, too. It might sound funny, but especially for those maple syrup producers that use the tubing to collect their sap, the squirrels have figured out that it's kind of like an easy way to get to the sap. They just chew a hole in the tube, and then it's like a big straw, and they can just suck out some of the sap at their leisure. So that's one thing that we have to constantly be vigilant to kind of keep track of, you know, if the squirrels are chewing holes in any of the tubes. But any like pests and environmental issues, I guess the weather too is something that can impact the health of a forest. When temperatures start to get warmer or too warm, there's diseases and pests that can become more abundant or more of an issue. So that's what we're always watching for, is just to make sure that the forest stays healthy. Sometimes doing things like clearing the understory of invasive species like buckthorn is important. So that's something that we've been managing specifically at Oshman Forest. There is some buckthorn growing there, which is an invasive plant from Europe, a little shrub that can take over. And so that's a bunch of things that we kind of have to manage for.
Naomi Langlois-Anderson explique comment les propriétaires d'érables peuvent gérer leurs érablières de manière durable en veillant à la santé des arbres tout en maintenant une bonne production de sève.
For managing a sugar bush sustainably, if you have a small woodlot on your property, you've noticed that you have a lot of maple trees. So the species that you're looking for are not only sugar maple, which is the one that has the highest concentration of sugar in its sap, but there's also red maple, black maple, silver maple. Those maples can also be tapped. They typically have a slightly lower concentration of sugar, but really overall, maple trees vary between 2% and 4% sugar, so it's pretty low. And that's why it takes so much sap to make maple syrup. For example, it takes roughly 40 liters of sap to make 1 liter of maple syrup. So having enough maple trees on your property, your collection system, and just keeping your forest healthy. So knowing how to prune your trees without damaging them is very important. Oftentimes people, when they prune their trees, will leave a little stub, and that can introduce pathogens into the tree. Trees have what's called like wound wood around the collar of the branch. So when you're removing a branch, you have to make sure it's flush with the tree, and that way the wound wood can grow over it and close the hole to prevent fungus from getting in or diseases. So things like that. It's learning proper techniques also for tapping. When you actually tap the tree, to make sure that you're doing it properly, you are introducing a hole into the tree, and that hole can allow pathogens in. So you don't want to make the holes all in the same space. spot. So you choose different locations on the tree every year. You have to make sure that you're not stressing the tree too much by putting too many taps on one tree. There are some rules of thumb that are outlined in that guide that I mentioned before from the Forest Stewardship Council or the Eastern Ontario Model Forest Guide. It talks about making sure that the trees are at least 30 centimeters in diameter and making sure that you only have one tap. Trees, once they're 60 centimeters, you can add on one more. As an example, I mean, some people put more than that, but generally you don't want to stress the tree too much because you are taking something away from the tree that the tree actually uses. So that sap is, you know, it's kind of like the lifeblood of the tree, and so you don't want to remove too much or else you'll stress the tree. So those are some examples of things. There's other ways to make sure that you're keeping your sugar bush sustainable and healthy, but those are some of the big ones.
La conservation de la Nation Sud offre aux écoles un programme éducatif sur l'érable qui se déroulera du 23 mars au 10 avril 2026. Les élèves pourront y découvrir le processus de récolte de la sève, la fabrication du sirop d'érable, l'histoire de cette tradition et le rôle des érablières dans l'écosystème local.
South Nation Conservation offers a maple education program. So our maple education program offers like an immersive journey through the evolution of Canada's liquid gold, as some people call maple syrup. We begin by honoring Indigenous traditions, describing how the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe prepared the sweet water, using birch bark vessels and hot stones to craft their life-sustaining maple sugar. Then the journey continues into the colonial era, where European settlers adopted these techniques, and the school children explore the transition to iron kettles and the sugar bush lifestyle that became a cornerstone of Eastern Canadian identity. And then we step into the modern age, showcasing the leap from the horse-drawn sleds to high-tech vacuum tubing and stainless steel evaporators. So this program is open to schools from March 23rd to April 10th, and they must book it through our maple education program to ensure that we have like an educator on site, and the maple taffy treats are ready for the students. So the cost is $5 a student, and they can just call or email our office for that. And yeah, I think that summarizes our program.
Rose Kresla, journaliste CJL, dans l'Est ontarien.